Chaz and AJ, current Volkswagen news.
What's the deal with the travelers?
What's up with that?
I want to know all about it. Okay. Roger Suzanne in Channel 3 is on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's a huge week. If you're a Connecticut sports fan, if you're a golf fan, this is your week. I am in Cromwell right now at the TPC River Highlands, and I'm seeing a lot of colorful pants. I'm seeing a lot of these pros starting to warm up because the first group goes off at 6:45.
So it's early.
Yeah, I know. It surprised me. I go, really? They get up that early and tee off? And some of the heavy hitters are right near the top because you have Rory McIlroy tees off at 7:45. And really, no matter when you come, you'll see some really top guys. Scottie Scheffler, who's the number one player in the world, he's not until 1 p.m. So you can still see some top guys, even if you don't feel like getting up insanely early and shooting out here. Of course, getting up early, no problem for me being part of the morning team. But I know for a lot of folks, 6:45, that's pretty darn early.
That's early. It sounds like they spread the big names throughout the day just to kind of get people
to come.
So not everyone surges there at like one time. What's this deal, Roger, with the LIV? I think if you're a casual golf follower or you don't follow sports at all, you've heard this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was talking with the tournament director, Nathan Grube, about this because I'm sort of like, hey, what is the deal? So basically, and I think the way you're supposed to say it is like the LIV Golf Tour, but why it doesn't have an E at the end, I don't know. But it's backed with Saudi money. So they've got a whole boatload of cash to throw at these players, and some top-name guys are dropping out of it or are joining it because they say, look, I want to make money. This is my career. Other PGA players that are playing here at Travelers are sticking with the PGA because they're basically like, you know, what is the price of your legacy? Because everybody knows, you know, that this money is coming from the Saudi Arabian government, and a lot of people have major issues with that.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about the money, and once you go to LIV, you're done with the PGA?
You're dead to the PGA, yes.
Basically, so the guys that have been going to LIV, one of two things has been happening. Some have been just saying, I'm done with the PGA Tour. I'm leaving. Other guys are technically staying in the PGA, but what the PGA is doing is they're suspending those players indefinitely. So the question is, like, if the LIV Tour goes belly up or the Saudi Arabian government says we don't want to do it anymore, you know, are these guys going to be able to get back onto the PGA or not?
I'll check them back in a second.
Yeah, of course they will.
That's what I think. That would be my guess. I mean, you're saying, oh, you're not going to let some of these top players in the world back? I think they would take them back, but it remains to be seen. But one thing that's pretty interesting, guys, this could be kind of a historic moment. Here in Cromwell, the PGA players had this big, big meeting earlier in the week saying that they're going to increase PGA purses and all that kind of stuff going forward. So it's sort of like in the Hamilton song, the room where it happened, to a Cromwell and the TPC River Highlands. It's the room where it happens, where maybe it could be a turning point in the PGA saving itself, or it could just be another moment where, you know, the LIV Tour pushes forward. So who knows?
It's an interesting thing.
I have no idea.
They were throwing out sick money, too. I heard, like, Dustin Johnson got, like, $120 million.
Really?
Yeah, supposedly Phil Mickelson got $200 million, which, you know, I'm not a big golfer, but I just want them to know I would be interested if they're throwing $200 million.
Yeah, to be a spectator, I'm in for like
you'll
50.
Do it for less than that.
Right, I'll do 50.
I will tarnish my legacy, yes.
But they offered Tiger money, and it was ridiculous money. I never heard that number, but I could only imagine.
Yeah. They said high nine figures. Now, I understand that Tiger Woods, he has maybe a little bit of an easier time turning down that money when you're already worth at least $1 billion. But still, I mean, money's money, and I can understand why some of these guys are doing it. And the other thing that's interesting is we talk about the big names that are doing this, but there's some guys that haven't made a ton of money on the PGA, and they're making more guaranteed money going to the LIV Tour. Like Brooks Koepka's brother, I think I read he'd made $450,000 his whole career on the PGA Tour. He made $350,000 his first tournament in the new tour. So for him, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Some of the bigger name guys, it's okay. You know, what is the price of your legacy, and do you care about that? You know, and everybody's kind of making their own choice.
That's a good point, because I think that's why Tiger was easy to turn it down. He's only playing for legacy at this point.
Exactly. When you have $1 billion, you know, it's in the bank or billions in the bank. Who knows? It's probably a little bit easier to do.
Yeah.
But they have gotten some big names. You know, like Phil Mickelson, he's not the greatest player anymore, but he's a huge name, and he has a ton of money in the bank, yet he still said, all right, you're talking $200 million, I'll still take that. So it's interesting.
Sounded like you said something else.
Talking.
He's that one.
We
got to
let
right?
Roger go. He's got to do a hit on Channel 3 at 7 after.
That's right.
But
we'll
big day
watch
today.
Channel 3, big day, big weekend. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Roger, Suzanne, and Channel 3 at the Travelers. It's great to have these events in Connecticut, I'm telling you.
Very exciting.
It's really cool.
Yep.
We were there 1 year. When we were on the Hartford station, along with this station.
Yeah.
I said, it'd be nice for you to broadcast live there.
Okay.
All right. We'll go there. Whatever you say, we'll go.
Yeah.
AJ had a good time. I thought it was...
Well, once I got past the hole, you can't bring this and that and this and that into the thing.
Remember, security was tough.
Very, yeah.
I couldn't bring in a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
I'm like, are you friggin' kidding me?
What if you got hungry?
Apparently, you had to eat food there.
And then I'm like, all right, well, I'll just get food there. And nothing opened until like 11.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate you people.
And it's all club sandwiches.
I remember, you get into an argument with the guy in the parking lot about cubed watermelon.
Yeah.
You had like a little Tupperware full of watermelon. You're like, it's watermelon. It's fruit. Like, I'm not going to hurt anyone with it.
That's right.
Was it
I show up at like 5:15 in the morning, and I'm livid.
Yep.
What's wrong?
Right. And then we
get
eaten by mosquitoes. Apparently, that area has a lot of mosquitoes first thing in the morning. It was like so bad, we're all like passing the bug spray.
That did happen, yeah.
There was a lot of that. But, you know, golfers are, they're not hockey players or people in a bar. If we do a live broadcast, being a bar is great. The toy drive is great.
Uh-huh.
This is like, you're a golfer.
Yeah.
What's it like hitting a ball and
getting
it in the hole?
You want any money lately? What kind of clubs do you use?
Talk to one.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm good. I talked to a golfer today. Oh, there's eight more.
Right. And they all say the same thing. Yeah, right. How do you pronounce that? Is it tight leased?
Yeah.
I've been saying it wrong all this time.
Golf is a really fun sport, though.
It's relaxing, unless you're really bad at it, in which case you're trying to find
a goal. It's relaxing.
Right.
Or it's the worst.
Yeah, it's either or.
I am a terrible golfer, but from what I understand, you are battling yourself out there. So you're not even playing the course as much as you're... playing like against your own mental capabilities.
When you start taking a lesson and they start going into, all right, stand up straight.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your arm straight.
Yep.
Do this.
Don't move your chin.
There's like 97,000 things that happen in that first swing, that drive.
Yeah.
I'm like, get out of here. I'm just hitting this frigging thing like it's a baseball.
Right.
And then I'm going to go get it and I'm going to do it again.
Right. Hit the ball, find the damn thing, hit
it
again.
And if they want to get more people involved in this thing, you know, going to golf and watching golf, I think they need to start making it a little bit more fun and interesting for the spectator.
Yeah.
Like, first thing I would do is put someone with a metal garbage can on them.
Okay, somewhere out there?
At the hole.
Right.
Right at the hole. So if you do hit, hit this person, it's a hole in one.
Right. If you hear a ding, they drop.
There's nothing more satisfying than hitting a golf ball.
Right.
And then about a second later, you're bam!
Right. And it should only be, actually, you should only be covering their head. The rest of the body should be prone. This way, just in case,
no nut cover.
Four becomes two,
Well, the spectators should be allowed to make noise and cheers. Just always that little golf club.
Yeah.
You know? Get excited! It's golf.
Like crowd
surfing. Yeah, they should have like air horns.
Right.
Yeah,
vuvuzelas.
I'm in favor of having random landmines somewhere near the hole.
Yeah, I've thought about this for like 20 years.
The ball lands somewhere and kaboom!
No. It's they're walking across the course.
Okay. Well, I was thinking. I was just thinking the ball lands somewhere.
All right. Well, Phil Mickelson's out.
Right.
He was leading, but now he's out.
Just a pair of Nike shoes. Just do it.
Yeah. Maybe not. It just blows the body all over the place. It's just like a stun.
Right. Yeah.
Up.
Like a stun grenade. Okay. Yes. They fall down.
Oh, he's getting back up.
Oh, look,
okay. He's in this thing to win.
Oh, he looks pissed now.
His white pants are all black.
Right.
Or it's just like a paintball
it's
gun.
A really bad head. Like, right, yeah. Like it makes him a different color.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, bright yellow now.
Why wouldn't they do this?
With all that black, look like a bumblebee out there.
See, there's an opportunity to do this.
Spice it up a little bit.
I think they get it more right with the match. So, like, when they have the heads up, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and then they bring in some other celebrities like Tom Brady or whatever, and then they're betting hole to hole. Right? So, like, if you get paired with someone, like, you should be able to do that. Like, I would love to see that happen because it adds a level of competitiveness that is not otherwise there, and it's fun. You know, because, like, what's $100 to them? A hole, you know?
Nothing.
Exactly.
It's like a penny.
How about maybe they do a shot each time they get one in? Mm. Every time you sink a ball, I can do a shot.
It'd be very interesting at the end of that.
Yeah, exactly. They're all hammered.
And it's
got to be like whiskey. Like
love
nothing,
you, brother.
Exactly right. Like, that guy just took his shirt off.
I'd watch that.
By the fourth day of the tournament, everyone's going to be dehydrated. Just walking around with IVs.
Right. I like that.
I just got a text from my friend Joe Salem, who's very successful. God bless him. Hard worker. Gives back.
Right.
I always see him at events. He's living the life now. He said, look up the 16th hole at the Waste Management Tournament. That's what golf should be.
Legendary.
I guess Phil knows it.
It is a legendary. The entire crowd is against the golfer at this point.
Really?
They want you to fail. It's an island, essentially.
Oh, and can you... like, there has to be some audio on this.
So there's a lot of backstory here, but the Waste Management Tournament is known specifically for, like, having the drunkest, rowdiest crowd.
Nice.
Like, it's sort of the one where they look the other way. If the crowd's, like, getting rowdy, they're like, yeah, well, they're having
fun. Yeah, they don't dare mess with them. Oh, I want to hang out there.
That's great. I love this.
We found our crowd.
I found a golf tournament I can watch.
Yay!
They usually, at the end of the tournament, will have like a montage of people swinging and then being frustrated and just like dropping the club, like the ball goes right in the water. The worst is when you hit the island and it bounces and then goes right off the other side and you're like, ah, come on, I did everything right there.
Are these players that we would know? Are these local people like Joe?
Everybody.
Anyone could play?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm saying like something like you're watching the world's best golfers completely meltdown at this
blow
hole.
It yeah
yeah
oh
wow
because
Man.
You either hit a perfect shot or you're in the water. That's it.
So nice. do we have any audio on,
I'm looking for a good
the
one.
16th hole,
usually if you look it up, it's guys getting a hole in one.
Right.
I'll play that. Hold on,
I'll have the dump button ready.
That sounds like a tough shot.
You know, I have another idea for to make golf more interesting.
Don't play?
I'll tell you on the other side. I'll tell you on the other side.
Okay. 9-iron, a little bit longer than Adam Hadwin. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you can hear the crowd. Like, they're letting him go.
Wow.
Even the best get called out.
A lot of people.
No kidding, and they're loud.
Right, at a golf tour. That's like a stadium crowd.
It's like a stadium.
It's almost set up like the Kentucky Derby, where they're all like in...
Go in.
Oh, I like this.
This is like Braveheart.
There you go. You should. That's the best all day right there. 2 feet. Maybe just a... Maybe 2.5.
I think I've confused two tournaments. By the way, this one doesn't have the water. It's not the island, but they have the drunkest crowd. The Waste Management Tournament is known for having the rowdiest spectators.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the people that show up are allowed to be as loud as they want.
If you played that audio and asked me what sport it was, I would never guess golf.
Exactly. I wouldn't either.
I would say hurling.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey.
Hey.
I think you're talking about the wrong hole. The Phoenix Open is where everybody's drinking, going crazy on that 16th hole.
The Waste Management, yeah.
Yeah, there's a water hole that you're talking about. I can't think of which tournament it is.
And I confuse the two
it
tournaments.
It sends people going crazy because they'll get on the green and the thing will just roll off and go into the water.
That is the worst.
I can't think of the course, though.
Oh, they should make a floating one like a dock. And they have to get on the dock.
Something like that. It doesn't move, though.
That'd be so cool.
But,
all right. Thank you, brother. Right.
Have a good one.
You too. I'm going to look up this Waste Management 16th hole. That sounds fun.
Like a party.
But that whole tournament, though, like all week long.
Yeah, here's another idea to make golf more interesting.
What do you got?
Team sport.
Okay.
And you fire the golf ball out of a mortar.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's like the wearing military. A helmet. You load it.
One guy has binoculars.
Right.
30 degrees to the right.
Right. Coordinates.
Yeah. Yep. Coordinates.
Coordinates, yes.
Yeah, you got your spotter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, the guy's there with a little crank and like a cannon.
Right. Right. He's wearing the helmet. And when he hits the sheet,
okay, fire in the hole. 3, 2.
Right.
That's way better than carrying all those clubs.
Fire that through someone's window and lives next door.
Come on, we got to make this sport more fun.
I like it. Every hole is filled with goo. You're like, that's dog, dude.
Or maybe it's like the Chinese finger trap. You reach in, you can't get your hand back out. Oh, come on!
One of these has venomous spiders in it. one's got some kind of shredder.
It's very Indiana Jones of you.
Or like you spin the ball back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as you go and you look down into the hole, fire's eye hits you right in your face.
Ow!
Chaz and AJ. Hey.
Hello. Was he hit in the face?
So I'm just calling about the golf tournament you guys are talking about.
Yeah, that's us right here.
You're on.
The one you're talking about is PBT Sawgrass that has the 17th Island Green.
17th, okay.
Right, 17th Island Green, right.
And
the complex.
And the Phoenix has the 16th, the Stadium Hole.
Okay.
Stadium Hole.
With the fans from ASU.
Yeah, so they let all the college kids in. So if the Kentucky Derby's like the prestigious horse race, and then the Preakness is like where all the drunk idiots are in the infield, that's sort of what this is in golf. It's the drunk idiots on,
nice.
On this.
I want to see golf, all the best players,
right.
And drunk idiots.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. All in the
combine
same place.
It.
But everyone's having fun. You know,
it's
like the
genius.
Players
yeah.
know going to this hole, like, all right. I better have a good shot on this one, otherwise I'm getting razzed
yeah.
for the whole tournament.
Enough of this gentleman crap, man. Let's have fun. Let's make a rowdy.
Chaz and AJ.
Good morning.
Hey.
Morning to you.
Hey, thank you. Listen, the 16th at Sawgrass, somebody got a hole in one this year. The place rained beer cans.
Nice. As it should be.
Stop the tournament to clean everything up.
Right.
That was amazing.
Tremendous.
The next guy had to play right through.
That sounds like a bucket list event.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you have to go there and get on that hole and be part of that.
What
madness.
They should do is leave the litter on the green. This way, next person's playing has to get through all the beer bottles and stuff.
Have to shoot through the
the
cans. Almost like mini golf. Get through the cans.
Love it.
They don't even do that in hockey. You get a hat trick. They at least clear the hats off the ice.
No, leave it, man. Leave it.
All right. Well, that's the Travelers today. None of that's going to happen there. The one thing I love about this state is we have good food.
Good eating.
Jeff Warshaw, the CEO of our company, is a food connoisseur. That's why our company's called Connoisseur Media.
Yep.
And, first Jeff took me through New Haven and turned me on to all these different types of food I've never experienced before.
Yeah.
It was great. But now we're in my wheelhouse.
Okay.
Hot dogs.
There you go.
Hamburgers. Stuff from a deep fryer.
Stuff you hold your hands.
That's right. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
One.
So our next trip is going to be hot dogs.
Tube steaks.
Is that what you call them?
Tube steaks,
oh,
yeah.
Don't call it that. Okay, no. 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 Okay, stop that.
Fine.
Yeah, that sounds gross.
Fine.
I think this is the most you've been disciplined here in a long time.
Seriously, right?
Don't call them tube steaks.
What do you mean?
I mean, you get me on at 6:30 in the morning and you start talking to me about tube steak. It's not good.
Gross.
Good morning.
You know, you would think hot dogs would be a simple thing and everyone can make good ones. Not true.
No. You can screw them up.
Yeah. But
oh, my. There's actually tremendous differences of opinion on exactly the best way to prepare hot dogs, whether they should be boiled, whether they should be boiled and then griddled, whether they should be just grilled, whether, you know, they should be cooked in a pan.
Boiling beer.
There's all different kinds, all different kinds of, that the original, like the most, I guess, iconic hot dog was, Nathan's from Coney Island.
Right.
And one of the distinguishing characteristics was that it's actually the outside of the casing is made out of sheepskin. And so it had that big crunch when it was cooked properly.
Yes. Yeah.
And you would crunch into it.
Yep.
Right. And then the juices would be like, come right out. That's the experience, the quintessential New York Coney Island experience.
Oh, so my God. You just brought me back to that time where I was with my parents.
Yeah.
Coney Island.
Yep.
I didn't realize that snap was sheepskin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Because you get skinless and you got the ones with the skins on.
No, I like the skin.
Yeah. Well, it holds all the juices in
but
better.
But it's very different.
Yes.
There's one place that's pretty well known in Fairfield Bridgeport area, and they like deep fry their hot dogs. So, I mean, there's all different ways of doing it, and each of them have different characteristics that they impart on the dog, besides, of course, the quality of the hot dog, AJ.
Yeah.
It's really much more, lends itself to connoisseurship much more than most people would think.
What kind of condiments do you like the best? You like onions, stuff like that?
Yeah, I growing up, I used to be a ketchup guy when I was little.
Right, yeah.
And for some reason, I wasn't into mustard. And I would say now for me, okay, so if you ever been to Chicago, right? In Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago dogs.
Vienna, you know, they put, you know, raw onion and hot peppers and, you know, all kinds of stuff. There's websites just on hot dogs, all different kinds. I guess my quintessential hot dog would be mustard, kraut, and relish.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Right. Although mustard and then the onions is fantastic too. Like the cooked onions.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, that's a nice.
Right. And then there's different ways of making them, you know, correspond to different ethnic groups. And I've read so many articles on hot dogs.
Yeah.
I don't eat them as often. I read more about them than I eat them.
Right.
Like, you know, like for me, hot dogs are one of those things, I think, like hamburgers too, that I find when I don't eat them that often, I enjoy them so much more.
It's right. A treat, yeah.
And, yeah. And so I'm really looking. I haven't had a hot dog all year.
Oh, yeah.
So this is really going to be, an exciting experience for me.
Oh, that's great. And the tribe, when we asked, you know, best roadside summer food.
Yeah.
So many hundreds of responses. We picked two of the hot dog places that came up a lot, and we thought we'll post it later.
Yeah.
And the tribal vote, and whoever wins, that's where we'll go tomorrow for lunch.
Right. Nice.
And the two places they picked, or, you know, came up a lot, Raleigh's.
Great place.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Blackie's.
Also great place.
There's no losing.
Seriously.
We do not lose. Yeah. Tomorrow we have a great lunch.
Yeah, either way, you're guaranteed.
Yeah.
You might wind up hitting both. It might be that close.
Really, why limit yourselves?
Yeah.
I live right near Raleigh's, so if I'm still hungry, if we end up at the Blackie's, then if I go to Raleigh's afterwards, I can, you know, I could have knock off my two annual hot dogs at once.
Right, like a nightcap. Here you go.
Raleigh's in Fairfield. Who looked that up?
I did.
Okay.
What do we know? Right on their homepage, as soon as you go to their website, it's just, this is Martha Stewart's favorite hot dog.
Oh.
So if it's good enough for Martha Stewart,
wow.
Right out of the gate, you know it's going to be something special.
How many hot dogs
I'm
do you
not
think
sure.
She's had,
yeah. You know, I'm not sure that for a variety of reasons that would be the person I would choose
right.
For being an expert on hot dogs.
Okay, but, so to take it a step further.
If you want to decorate my living room, fine.
Right, but when she flips out, she'd chase with a pickup truck. So if she didn't chase anybody.
That's fair. Yeah. But to take it a step further, she even posted about them on her personal Instagram page back in April of 2020. They were closed due to the pandemic, and she was the most upset.
Wow.
She's like, I look forward to this when I come to Westport. The first thing that I do is I come to Raleigh's and get my hot dog, and they're not open, and she was devastated about it. It made news headlines.
I've seen them featured on Best Thing I Ever Ate on the Food Network, and the Rippers are fantastic. Those are the ones that are cooked really, really long, and they break apart. Yeah. Rippers are awesome. I love Rippers.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right,
I've never experienced a Ripper.
There you go.
This is a little embarrassing, but I've never had a hot dog there.
Oh, wow.
I've never been there.
What? I made it a point. After seeing that on TV, I made it a point to go there.
Do they have, like, special relish that they make or any of that stuff? Mm. No?
I don't know if they make their own.
French fries. Do they have fries there?
Oh, definitely. Beer battered onion rings.
By the way, add chili and cheese
to these.
Having Jeff on the show has increased the quality of my French fry life.
Yeah.
Because when he said you got to have French fries as soon as they hit the table, I do that now, and they are the best.
Yeah.
They do have homemade hot relish and hot pickles.
Cool.
Did we ever discuss when they did the study on McDonald's French fries, how long they sit before people don't want to eat, before they really consider to drop off and people don't eat them as much?
No.
Anyone want to guess how many minutes? Mm. 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Oh, I was going to say four.
I was going to say 7.5.
Seven.
I'm not sure AJ would agree with that, but, you know, I think that's, you know.
What do I agree with anyway?
I mean, I guess
the funny part, Jeff, if I, you know, like when I had some old cars and I would be vacuuming the seats and see a French fry.
They look perfect. Like they just came out.
They look good.
They don't deteriorate.
Did you test them?
Not saying I had one, but.
Make a good toothpick at the end of the meal, too.
Tribe's calling in now with their votes on this.
Nice.
All right, so Blackie's. Ashley, you looked up Blackie's?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about relish, you have to talk about Blackie's. Homemade pepper relish served for over 90 years, since 1928.
That's a long meal.
They only make it when it's fresh. When it's gone, it's gone.
On the Cheshire Waterbury line. It's a secret family recipe, although you can buy it. I mean, the history of this place. It originally opened as a gas station in 1925. They sold hot dogs. Those hot dogs were so good. They were like, well, I guess we're in the hot dog business now.
Wow. So we're kind of gas now.
You get gas
right
there.
I mean, our first one we ever did was Louis Lunch, wasn't it?
Was it?
Louis Lunch, yeah, it was.
Yes,
yeah.
Louis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly
yeah.
right.
Yep, you have a little location
yep.
there, yep.
This place was so good, it has lasted through World War II when there were rations and they can only sell one hot dog per customer.
Wow.
Yeah. They had a fire in 1945. They've had renovations. They keep coming back, and they're incredibly popular and always delicious.
They have two kind of unique qualities, which is they are a cash-only business,
uh-huh.
and they are closed on Fridays.
Okay.
That's wild.
Wait, so you guys are going tomorrow?
Closed on Fridays.
Right, and you're going tomorrow?
Well, there's a very certain way you order, too.
Hold on. There was a key piece of information.
Right, we just found out.
There's a key piece of information. Like, Ashley's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they're closed on Fridays.
You guys are going tomorrow?
Yes.
So there you go. You're going to Rollies.
Boy, that was a fast bit.
I mean, that was easy. We've done it enough times. We showed up a couple of times at places that were closed. So we'd be right home.
We've been online all day.
If I went all the way to the Cheshire Waterbury border and there was no hot dog, I wouldn't have been happy.
I'm glad that we looked this up.
Well, they came here once. We did a hot dog week, and they were cooking in the parking lot, and people were calling in like crazy, like, how did you get them there? And I'm like, I don't know. They just agreed to come down.
They got in their car.
People were losing their minds because it was a Friday, and they were cooking hot dogs for us in the parking lot. They're like, no, you don't understand. No one gets a Blackie's hot dog on a Friday. This is a huge deal.
Until now.
Wow. Maybe they could just come here.
I mean, I'd be fine with that.
I will tell you, that is Kristen's favorite hot dog in the world.
Let's,
So maybe we should also be thinking about where the best ice cream is to finish up in within 5 miles of Raleigh.
Oh, nice.
Since we don't have anything to vote on.
Oh, I think you got a couple places by you out there. Really nice.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them. I've driven past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't
get out
of
Should we call Raleigh's and see if they'll come in tomorrow?
If they'll come here?
You mean Blackie's?
Blackie's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Blackie's.
Yeah.
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 I have a number somewhere, I think.
Jeff, what do you think? Do you want to have a hot dog at 8 in the morning?
No, whatever whatever I'm called upon to do for the service of the tribe, I'm happy to do.
You're the man.
You're a good man and a hero, sir.
All right, I'll text with you and we'll iron this out. So Raleigh's Blackie's, but Blackie's we wouldn't be able to do tomorrow.
Right? Not at their place anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
And either way, we don't lose, we win.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
All right, great. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9, the Fox, Jimmy Koplik on the show. Did we talk to you about Sammy Hagar? Yeah, we did.
We did.
I was just so excited about that show.
It was such a great show, though.
There's so much to talk about. Like, the venue is its own star at Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. Sammy was great. Thurgood was great.
Sam, you love the place, too.
Yeah, awesome.
The venue. Yeah, it was great.
So we'll be back.
Love to hear when the artist says what a great venue it is.
Especially when they've seen not just places around.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Right. And they say, I love this place.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, like, we also have Mohegan Sun that people feel that way about towards also.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
That's great, too.
And we're going to be talking to the CEO of Mohegan Sun at 9 o'clock.
Oh, great.
Hot fun in the summer. Hot
summer fun.
Hot summer fun.
That's it, yeah.
Yes. Let's see. We'll go to the phones here. Bobby in Wilton. Bobby?
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, and the question I got for him is, do they have a handicap area at that new facility in Bridgeport, the healthcare?
Sure.
For handicapped people.
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
Now, I guess Willie Nelson's coming there in September, I believe.
Yes, in September. Yep.
And my wife's
go
in
enjoy
a wheelchair.
The show. Right.
Yeah, I can bring my wife there. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Phil, you couldn't have answered that one for him, or?
I figured Jimmy might want to tell everybody.
Oh, all right.
That means no.
I don't think you could build a building now that is not wheelchair accessible.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. It's a requirement.
Yeah, no, it's a law.
Yep.
And a good law.
Yeah.
And I'm a little nutty about it because I go through the parking lot myself and check handicap parking spaces and tags.
Do you really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God forbid it happens to me one day. I want to make sure I have a parking space.
There you go, see?
You have a parking space.
Seriously, you can park right in the middle if you want to.
Your parking space doesn't have a wheelchair and a blue thing.
Right.
Your parking space says Jimmy Copley.
Exactly. You can park next to the stage if you want to.
Right. I mean, in a collective way.
Yeah.
Not in a personal way.
Right.
In a collective way.
Of course.
I feel people that abuse that right are horrible human beings.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And I am personally very offended by it. And I've had the Hartford police go through Xfinity. We haven't had that problem yet of running out of spaces in Bridgeport. But if it does happen, I will start dealing with that in Bridgeport, too.
There are a lot of spaces for handicap parking in Bridgeport.
Yep.
And it's funny. For Hagar, I was pulling in the lot. I'm like, wow, look at all these spaces. Let me go right. Oh, damn it.
Nope.
Turn around.
Nope.
It's like, how come no one's parking over here? Like, oh, okay.
There's a reason.
I got it.
Right.
Well, Jimmy, I'm sorry. I think people want to hear from you instead of having me answer questions.
Sure. Ask for goodness
now. They call. They want to hear Jimmy.
Right.
Chris and Fairfield.
I only have enough words left in my mouth. I'm happy for you to take them over.
Are you guys working on getting I Prevail into Connecticut?
Yeah, wasn't that nice? That was great getting in there. Yep. We're working on it. It looks like it's going to happen, hopefully.
Oh, great. Which venue do you think?
Oakdale. We're trying to get them to start the tour a little earlier is what we're working on right now. We'll see if it works out.
Wow. Oh, good luck.
Thank you. Right now it's starting in Asbury Park, so we're trying to, on September 9th, so we're trying to get it a little earlier.
Cool.
We'll see. Yep.
Speaking of Asbury Park, any news on Springsteen? I ask you every week.
No news yet, but my guess is we'll hear sometime next month.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Cool.
It's only like a week away, so there you go.
All right, we're going to ask you about a band that you, I don't want to say broke, but you hinted strongly at, gave us some information on, and now it's been officially announced. Judas Priest with Queensryche, October 13th at the Toyota Oakdale. Tickets on sale tomorrow.
Yes, very happy about that show. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I had to use the old I voted for you for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame line. And it worked. I got them in. They're opening their tour at Oakdale, and I think they started a day early because of that, because I was a voter for them.
That's cool.
Thank you.
They wanted to pay me back, which is nice.
That's a big show for a Toyota Oakdale.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. I booked it without knowing Queensryche was even on the show. I was really surprised when they said, oh, by the way, the opening act is Queensryche.
Bonus.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Bonus.
It's really an insane bill for that size venue to see those two bands in that size venue.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Yep.
Insane. Ken in North Haven.
And you can call Bozzy, by the way, and ask them if they're rehearsing there.
I gave him a little trouble this week about
we kind of did already.
Have you heard?
You know, we talked to him this week. because he sent us an email and he wanted to make sure we had the Judas Priest information.
Yeah.
And I asked him about Sammy rehearsing at the Toyota Oakdale, and he still says he didn't hear a thing.
He's good. He's really good, Jimmy.
I asked him yesterday. We were in Bridgeport together, and I told him about us via show, and you played the bit where he stumbled over answering the question, and then he outright lied because they were rehearsing. He goes, well, I didn't lie. I didn't hear him. He does have a hearing problem. He does have a hearing problem.
Okay.
But if you're in the same building with Sammy Hagar, you're going to know that he's there, right. I would think.
Seriously, or don't drive. You're going to hear a train coming.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He is so involved, right. immensed in his work. Right. He didn't even know Sammy Hagar was on the stage in the building.
Right.
For 3 days.
Deep in concentration.
3 days?
Yeah, for 3 days he was there. Yeah, so.
So Bozzy knew.
I would have to think he knew. He just keeps denying it.
He's CIA.
Yep, he's good.
Yeah.
You're good, you.
Ken in North Haven.
Hey, good morning, all.
Morning.
Give me love all the classic rock shows you bring, but one new group that I like that's been around just recently. Never hear anything about the Black Keys.
Yeah, the Black Keys. Why do I think they're going to play next year at Mohegan Sun? We're working on that right now.
That would be awesome. Those guys are really good rockers for.
Yep,
keeping,
I agree.
You know, keeping classic rock alive. So, all right, great. We'll look forward to it.
All right, thank you.
Cool.
Let's see. We got this one from Henry in New Britain. Paul Rogers or Bad Company? Steve Winwood, Eagles in Connecticut.
Well, Paul Rogers and Bad Company are not touring at the moment. The Eagles, we tried to get into actually Bridgeport, but...
Wow.
That'd have been smooth.
Yeah, couldn't work it out. It was going to be in September.
Wow.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
What was the... why couldn't that happen?
Because they wanted to rehearse a couple of days before, and
about the
rehearsing
Oakdale?
Outdoors. Is,
Everybody else does.
Yeah, well, we couldn't rehearse at Oakdale because Oakdale was booked during that time period. Yeah. So,
Man.
So we were trying
my
to get
house.
The... Yeah, check. Yeah.
I have room.
You need directions?
Where's Don Henley?
Where's Don Henley?
In the garage.
In the living room.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, so we couldn't work it out, so we tried.
That's incredible.
That's sad.
There's no other... There's no...
like a warehouse something?
Yeah.
No, they found another place where they don't have to undo their equipment and they could just play that time period.
Oh, I gotcha. Let's do one setup, rehearse, and then... Yeah,
I can't say we didn't try. Okay.
Holy cow.
You have a nice house, too, and everything, Jazz. Well, what are you going to do?
Or Jimmy's house.
Jimmy's house is cool, yeah. Jimmy's like, hello? Click, Jimmy, where to go?
Donna in Milford.
Hello, guys. John, and Ashley, sorry.
Hello.
We all are.
Jimmy, I have a question. We were at the amphitheater for Sammy Hagar, and we were sitting in section 301, and there was a bunch of seats to the right of us where there was, like, television sets and stuff in there, like with lawn chairs, it looked like. And one of the concession people told us that they were $15,000 for the season. Now, just wondering if that is true, what does that include? Because where those seats were, it seems like the poles were in the way. And I'm assuming that's why the TVs are there.
Right. Well, it includes the seats.
Right. To sit down, comfy.
15,000?
So you can see it.
You have a TV set?
Yes, but it's not 15,000 a ticket. I believe
no,
there
no,
were...
No, I understood that. That's what I'm
There's like 10 seats in there or something.
Season. It's for the season.
Yeah, and it's like 10 seats in there or something like that.
Yeah.
So you're getting...
Oh, I only saw two. Like or so.
No,
like
there's a million TVs and like couch-like seats with coffee tables.
No, I don't think you're understanding where I'm talking about. If you're sitting
I know
there
exactly
section,
what you're talking about.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
We walked past it, yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about on the sides.
Right near the entrance.
Yeah,
right near the entrance. Right,
on the outside, yes.
Yeah, it's called the Banana Boat something. And it's sort of like a beachy thing, and you sit down in beach chairs and enjoy the show. We put TV sets in there so you can watch it, and they actually mostly sold out already. yeah. which is pretty something.
Okay. So by, now the season, what's that go from, like, say, May to September, October?
Every concert.
Right.
Yeah, our first concert was in April, and right now we're looking at booking some shows in October. So,
are you interested in buying a seat, Donna?
Not for that, no.
Then why the hell are you wasting my time?
Right. My typical high section ones that I buy there.
All right. So you're just curious about that?
Right, just being nosy.
Yeah, I was just curious. Right.
Okay.
The way, you know,
I only get Jimmy once a week, so I don't know.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I was just curious. I mean, you know, I'm not knocking it or anything. I'm just questioning it.
Just wanted to know. Right.
I love the theater.
Thank you, Donna.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Coffee. Here you go. It's all said with love. It's all love.
What else do we want to ask Jimmy about? How to replace the garbage bags there? Or...
How do you clean the toilets?
I was about to give her Howard's home phone number. But not to.
Yeah. I was like, don't you dare!
I'm kidding, Donna.
Yeah, we love
all
you.
All questions are important.
Yes, they are, even yours.
It is an interesting place because it was kind of a dead zone last year.
Yeah.
Exactly the point. It was something that people would not enjoy sitting there, and we basically didn't sell it. So we decided to freshen it up, put beach chairs in there, put TVs in there. Again, you can see part of the stage. If certain bands, you might not see every band member. And then we opened it up, and if you want to buy it, it's yours. If you don't, it's a free country.
Don't buy it.
When you say beach chairs, they're like couches.
Yeah,
they're
it's
like
comfy.
Leather couches.
Yeah, the
it
couches.
Is very comfortable.
Very comfortable, yeah.
And when you look there, you say, oh, who are those important people sitting there?
Right. Ooh.
Yeah.
The Donna?
It's a party. You're really close to the bar. It's everything you'd want.
Perfect.
All right, lots of questions now, and we're going to weed out any questions about stupid things. Donna, that was not a stupid question.
No. He's saying,
yeah,
for example.
We mean the other people. Jimmy Koplik is on. Lots of calls and questions coming in for him as we enter the final stretch. Dave in Beacon Falls.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Jimmy, do you ever see, like, Shinedown was going to do a Deep Cuts tour that got canceled due to COVID? Do you ever see them coming to Bridgeport to do something like that, or just in general coming there?
Yeah, I would think that would be a great venue, either Bridgeport or Mohegan Sun, but I think you'll see them come back sometime late this year, early next year.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Agree.
Thank you, Dave. Chris in Torrington.
Hi, good morning, guys. I have a question for you guys. So we all heard the antics and read the stories about some of the groupies in the backstage groups of like Motley Crue, Kiss, etc. I was wondering, Jimmy, if there's anything about the women rockers and what their backstage was like.
Well, you know, Lita Ford was probably, to me, the woman that most exemplified groupies backstage. And of course, there were men that wanted to be with her, so it's not singular towards one sex against with the other. A lot of men were backstage for Lita Ford, let's put it that way.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, thank you.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about Hart?
No, Hart was, they were pretty straight. I mean, no knocking them, but, you know, they were not
shenanigans.
They were business. No shenanigans, perfectly put.
Runaways back
Joan
in the
Jett?
Day. Yeah.
Joan Jett was married to her manager, and her manager was other. It was no groupies backstage.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
Pat Benatar.
Patty had Neil.
Right.
In the band, so that never happened either. Well, if they were wives or husbands on the road, it was a very different backstage.
Stevie Nicks.
No, never was like that.
She had the band backstage.
I wish. I would have been right there.
Yep. That's awesome.
That would be your one pass.
I had gotten that pass and never tried to deliver. Let's put it that way. I was too nervous.
Wait, you got the pass from your then wife?
Yeah. That was my one pass. She knew Stevie had no interest in me, so it was me the pass.
Cindy Ansonia.
Rob Zombie, is he going to be around? I know he's doing his movie thing, but any plans to tour?
Who was it?
Rob Zombie.
No plans to play Connecticut at the moment, but hopefully next year. You know, he's moved out of Connecticut now, so the homie thing that used to work with him doesn't work so much anymore.
Right. Now, let's come back. You forgot something.
How about Volbeat?
Right. Moby?
How about Volbeat? They don't seem to come around here.
The Volbeat doesn't tour very much. It's very odd. Last time we had Volbeat was out at Mohegan Sun, and I haven't heard of them touring at all in 2022.
They're fun.
Yeah, they got such a unique sound that that they should get out there some more.
Yeah, I'm with you, and they're popular, too.
Right. Call them. Tell them.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. Joe, Long Island.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. I love your show.
Thank you.
You make me want to move to Connecticut.
Oh,
but I have a question for Jimmy that I
this
used to
live.
That's a
long one, I could tell.
Mm-hmm. No.
All right. You know how it works.
I used to live on 48th and 8th Avenue in the city. In the basement of my building was a club called the Steve Paul Scene. Do you remember that? I'm as old as you, Jimmy.
As
young. Do you remember that club?
I remember it well. I remember Steve very well. In fact, he lived in Connecticut.
That's wild.
He lived in Stanford.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
All right.
And
you
I mentioned
it to other people, and they don't remember it. But
good drinks.
They had very strong drinks there.
Well, Steve managed Johnny Winter and Edgar Winter.
Wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
Besides owning the scene. And a
that's
great
it,
person.
Guys. Thank
hey,
you.
Joe, thank you, man. Jackal, someone emailed about that.
Was playing Toad's Place, but ended up getting somebody in the band got sick, so we're trying to reschedule the date, but haven't rescheduled it yet.
Oh. All right, so no date yet.
Nope,
no date
yet. Stephen Milford wants to know about Tears for Fears.
Not touring at the moment, but I'm sure you'll see them sometime later this year or next year.
They're still around? Wow.
Yep,
he said he, around. I don't know if it was a one-off, just saw them in Boston, thought they were great.
Yeah, they're still around.
Wow.
Johnny B. West Haven. He's calling in about Dokken.
Oh.
Gosh, I don't know if they're still together anymore. I really don't know.
Sal in Enfield, Dickie Betts.
I was talking to somebody about Dickie yesterday because I would have thought that Dickie would have been back out on the road because his son's on the road. But I don't think Dickie is a touring musician anymore.
Gotcha. That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
It is sad.
It's a bummer.
End of an era.
But at some point, you just want to enjoy your life.
Exactly. You know? Right. So. You earned it.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you. Thank you very
much.
You
got it, guys.
Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Perfect. Great, guys.
All right, thank you.
Chaz and AJ, Curran Volkswagen News.
Okay, just if you like food, the Italian festival is happening Worcester Street this weekend.
Ooh.
In
New Haven.
Worcester.
All right, so very good.
Nice.
More good. Like Woohooster.
All right, should we be more worried about jumping worms or long-haired ticks?
Hmm.
Texas Asian longhorn ticks.
Right.
Dr. Gail Ridge, associate scientist at the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station, is on now. Good morning.
Good morning.
We talked to you last week about jumping worms.
Yep.
This week we talked to you about Asian longhorn ticks.
What's next week?
Hopefully nothing.
That's a surprise.
Okay, good.
How worried should we be of these things? They found a ton of them in Fairfield.
Yes, well, they're relative newcomers to the States. We picked up the tick in the Bridgeport area in 2020 near the Black Rock Harbor area.
Okay.
A woman found 13 of them on her clothing and submitted them to the experiment station where they were positively identified. So they are establishing along the shoreline here in Connecticut. Guilford, Lyme, Fairfield shoreline.
It's like they swam across the Sound.
They're like equity, yeah. Waterfront property, yep.
Yeah, and they came to this region, the Northeast region, in 2017. They've picked up on a pet sheep in Hanna, Pennsylvania.
Sheep.
And that line, they did a genetic check on the line, and they came from New Zealand, and it's suspected that they actually were brought in on show horses.
Like Lord of the Rings.
Horses that are flown around the world in competition. But there have been multiple introductions because they're picked up in Virginia and Tennessee, New York, North Carolina, West Virginia, Maryland, Arkansas.
What's scary about them is that the female can give birth to 1,000 to 2,000 eggs.
Actually, yeah, a little more than that, up to 4,000.
Oh, yeah. So many!
With a blink of an eye.
Oh,
there you go.
Yep. Yeah, it's a mechanism called bet hedging because not 4,000 are going to make it to adulthood.
Right.
A pretty risky business being a tick, and so you're not guaranteed adulthood.
Okay, that's a lot, and they don't have to mate; they just have them.
Yeah, they just do.
Yeah.
On spite.
Yeah. The technical word is parthenogenesis, and so the females can produce offspring without needing a gentleman around.
So they're not carrying Lyme disease yet, but when they do, and they probably will at some point, this is going to be a problem for pets, kids, people.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah, the ticks we're picking up are not infected. So as far as we know at this point, they're not a menace medically for people. But they are problematic. The nymphs will quest on brush and tall grass in clusters. And so when they sense something has brushed up against them, they'll literally explode.
Oh!
Run all over you. So you'll suddenly find a lot of little ticks on you.
Oh, joy.
Yep.
That's the stuff they make nightmares out of.
Absolutely. Most animals will herd or cluster as a protection mechanism. And so these are clustering probably to protect against defecation so they don't dry out.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's a problem.
Now, I know that possums eat ticks. Are there any other like predators you can bring into your yard to like kill the ticks, like ladybugs or something like that?
Ladybugs.
I don't know. Like ladybugs eat those little things.
No,
you know?
That's a great example because they're so nice.
Exactly. Nothing.
Who
like,
minds a thousand ladybugs?
Exactly. Right.
No one.
Right.
I mean, if they're in my kitchen randomly, maybe.
Well, no, they're cool.
Yeah. They really haven't got the memo yet, but guinea hens can also be used if you can keep them in your yard.
Right.
Often you can release guinea hens and they take off.
Yeah,
but guinea hens can certainly control the situation. I think for most people, what you need to do is keep your brush down because ticks, including the deer tick, quest. So they climb up low vegetation and brush. So if you keep that cut back and make sure that your animals are protected, like the dogs, have next guard to stop ticks from attaching.
Right.
And also self-protection and self-awareness, particularly when you're hiking or in areas where there's brush, a tick check and to wear tick repellent.
And light color clothing.
This is one of those a year or two or maybe five from now, you'll remember this segment on the show and say, wow.
Right.
Because once these pick up, and there's going to be a zillion of them because they give birth to 2,000 to 4,000, your kids, your dogs, they can't communicate Lyme disease to you. They don't even know. It's like, whatever, my joints are achy. They don't even think about it.
I'm going to buy stocking
guinea hens.
Dogs
can't tell you.
Yep.
Nope.
It's a problem.
Yep.
Damn it. You know who Dr. Gale is?
Smart?
No.
Super smart.
I'm going to go with that.
No, she's that person in the movie where all hell's breaking loose, then a helicopter lands at a party, backyard party. Yep. It's like there's a bunch of government people.
Right.
Yeah.
Step away from the grill. You're needed immediately.
We need you, doctor. We need you. Come to the helicopter.
And she gets all windy.
Get my running shoes on.
It's Dr. Ridge?
Yes?
Yeah. You have to come with us right now.
You've been sent for.
Aye, aye, sir.
All right.
Aye, aye, sir. Is that a boat? All right, maybe she's not so smart.
No, I'm a ship captain who came in a helicopter.
Right.
Yeah, he has a ship captain's hat on. You see it?
Bring your guinea hens.
You'll have some badass line in the movie, though.
Yes.
I'd be like, fine, but I'm finishing my cake first.
Right, no, she'll take a glass and go, I can stop them.
Yeah. Yeah. But then she's in the lab telling all the people who make decisions what they're dealing with.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't want to listen to me 2 years ago, and now I'm back.
Yeah. I'll need this, I'll need that, and a Diet Coke.
All right, well, luckily right now they're not carrying anything bad.
Yes.
But here they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, thank you,
Doc. I would die. Absolutely. Just as one final point, if people are suspicious, we do have a top-notch tick testing laboratory at the experiment station under the leadership of Gurdas Malai. So if you're worried about what tick you've got, we certainly have the capacity to identify it and also, you know, address any disease issues as well.
Cool. You know, we could sleep good at night just knowing there's smart people on the planet like right. you. To protect us from ourselves and nature.
Thank you, Dr. Gale.
I'm going to move next door to her.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
It can be helpful.
There you go, see?
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, take care.
You
all
too.
Right.
Try to say that five times fast.
Dr.
Tick tester.
Dr. Gale Ridge, Associate Scientist at the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station.
I had no idea we had one.
It's lab coats.
Yep.
It's like smart people.
Right, it's very sterile. But they have a Cheez-It machine.
That's right. Wow.
I acquired Cheez-Its.
And that's what you want some doctor in charge of something important to sound like?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't want her to sound like AJ, you know?
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Or me.
Right.
No.
I wouldn't want him to sound like me either.
No. You don't, yeah, no. You don't want us to come out and give you a presentation and then leave, and the smart people are like, man, we are in trouble.
That we just say.
First of all, how did they get the lab coats?
He opened with, what does that mean? I have no idea. Give us some kind of code. Buy a guinea hen.
Man. Ticks and jumping worms.
Yeah. And those spiders a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago. Remember the ones from Japan? They're like 3 inches long. Yeah. They're like parachuting spiders. Right. Somebody got parachuting spiders, jumping worms, and longhorn ticks.
Yeah. All we need is some kind of occurrence to happen that will grow all these things to like the size of a car.
Well, we do have an Indian
Can
point
you imagine?
Power plant.
Yeah.
That ain't good.
All right, so again, Italian Fest in New Haven this weekend.
Eat
and live life.
Exactly.
This is pretty cool. We had her on, and let's talk to her. A new dog has been crowned king of the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show.
Here, King.
Tuni Conti, she's AKC registered handler on. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning
good.
You.
So who won?
Bloodhound named Trumpet won Westminster last night.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
Like pound puppies, but bigger.
Yeah. AJ. You remember pound puppy? I remember pound puppy.
So, new king, huh? Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Young dog, relatively new on the show scene. And the really cool thing about it was his handler is also his owner and his breeder. And
oh, wow.
That's not normal?
It's a perfect storm, so to speak. And the really cool thing is that his father, whose name was Nathan, won there a few years ago as well.
I love dog names.
Nathan.
Trumpet.
Yep. Right. Trumpet. Yeah, like what kind of trumpet, though?
Yeah, how did they get that name?
Does the trumpet go off at night?
Right, and that was the dog owner's name.
Yeah,
so.
when company comes over.
You'd have to ask Heather that question. I'm not sure how he came up with that name, but she's a great breeder. She's a friend.
Oh, wow.
And I'm really happy for her. So it was great.
How does that work? Is it like a bracket thing? You kind of work your way down to you're up against one other dog?
Right.
So what happens is the shows are broken down into seven groups, and in the seven groups there's, you know, certain breeds. You compete in best of breed. If you win best of breed, you move on to the group. If you win the group, you move on to be one of the seven finalists.
Oh,
wow.
Then it's a dance-off. And they have a drag race across the carpet.
Were any of the seven finalists previous champions, or can you only win it once?
All right.
No, you can go back and win it. Usually, I mean, the unwritten rule is once you win, you kind of retire. But there's been dogs who have won and continued being campaigned. The number one dog, I think he was last year, the Samoyed. He had won the group
last year as well. So he was in there. And everybody else was pretty much new dogs on the scene, which was exciting. So it was great. You know, the Westminster Kennel Club, they get it right every time. And it was fun.
Do they?
You know. Yeah, they do. they nail it right on the head. And it's the second oldest sporting event in the United States, second to the Kentucky Derby. And
right.
Those guys, they do a great job.
It's got to be wild.
And Bloodhound won. So if they lost a trophy, you can go find it. Go find the trophy.
Yeah, I love looking at Bloodhounds. I love petting them, but I would never have one.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know why. It's just, not my thing.
Okay. So I like
it's a lot of dog. It's a big dog. You know, they can be a little vocal. But,
yes, they can.
And sloppy.
You know,
great, when they're chasing after you in a field.
Their cheeks are all loose and dangly.
Yeah, they like trip over their own face.
I have friends like that.
that's so when they're being used for tracking, they actually like can gather the scent and the wrinkles and the ears and everything, and it makes it easier.
Oh really? When they rub their face with it?
That's cool.
So every breed you see was created for a purpose.
Oh, wow.
Created?
Explain Yorkies.
By Huds? People? Abs? Yeah. Gods?
Yeah, by breeders years and years and years ago. Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah.
What did Yorkie do?
They were just meant to be petted and adorable.
Okay, so useless.
An explanation, right.
or what do you call it? Therapy or whatever.
Yeah.
Emotional support.
Yes, that's it.
Right.
How about a German Shepherd?
German Shepherds are a herding breed and obviously used like in police force and stuff like that. Right. So they were, man-made for that.
Man-made.
Don't undercover. Hey,
how do you man-make a dog?
Right.
Well, this was long, long, long time ago. Those breeders, the forefathers of the breed, took certain dogs with certain traits and created what we have today. Dogs that were strong and herding and protection. And
they had a weekend.
Wow, I just learned a lot here because I thought this whole Labradoodle thing was a new concept.
Right. That was a weekend somewhere.
Yeah, we don't talk about them. So.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Yeah. Because I've heard, I do not know personally, okay. I've never spoken to the man,
right.
That he's upset about what has happened.
Heard that.
And it's as breeders, we do genetic testing. We do everything we can to keep our breed and the dogs we produce healthy mentally and physically.
Okay.
And now Labradoodles have kind of like taken on a life of their own. And a lot of times they produce double the problems as opposed to half the problem. So
wow,
if you're gonna get a doodle, I'm gonna really urge you all to get poodles, or they're wonderful.
So poodle, not doodle.
Really, right. My friend has a Labradoodle. It is the most awesome dog.
Yeah,
good. Well, that's good. It's not like they're all bad. It's no different than anything else. But
oh man, I am not giving your name at the end of this.
Right, so
you're gonna just get nutty people
hate mail.
Hate mail.
Use your noodle, not a poodle.
The creator of the breed said it was his life's regret that he did that.
Like, we just said that to be an ass.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You're upset. Look at this.
Wow. Here's like up. Created Frankenstein.
Right.
Trying to back you up, Tony.
All right, in a month.
I know.
Yep.
Thanks, Ashley.
All right, so German Shepherds.
And we'll see.
Yep. German Shepherds. Dobermans, what were they bred for? Same thing. Not herding, but like watchdogs.
Just scare the crap out of people.
Bred for protection, on estates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whatever breed you Google, you'll get the whole history. I'm not an expert on all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Those things just scare at you.
I don't know a lot about, but.
Yeah, they're scary looking.
Yeah, they just stare at you with those pointy ears, and they have that death stare like a shark, like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, when someone has a Doberman and they say, oh, he's friendly. I'm like, right. Yeah, right now he is.
Yeah, yeah.
But, he hasn't met me yet.
Yeah, you walk away for a second, all of a sudden I'm staying.
Right.
Yeah.
What about Dalmatians?
Dalmatians, they were bred as a coach dog to run along the side of the fire truck.
They were bred for the fire truck.
Right. Also connect the dots.
Well, to like assist the coach and stuff on the way to the fire. So, that's not a breed I'm really, very familiar with. I know a little bit about them, but there's other breeds I'm a lot more educated in.
How do they assist? Will they shout out directions? Maybe right. I go here. I'm in a GPS. Yeah. Go right over here.
Well, they know where the fire hydrants are.
Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Follow me. I know a place to pee. Go
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. Wow. It's fascinating. All right.
No,
we're going to have you back and talk about this stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
I will never bring up Labradoodles again.
Guys. No, no.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. It's Toonie. She was at the Westminster Dog Kennel Club show.
Yeah.
And they have a new champion. It's a bloodhound.
For Dumbass News.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
All right, let's acknowledge a couple people who just won tickets. Hot summer fun at Mohegan Sun.
Yes.
We got Chad and Ansonia was caller 9, and caller 10 was our buddy Johnny Tree from Wallingford.
Johnny Tree. Hey, Johnny Tree. How you doing?
Okay, dumbass news. Can big boy eat with tiny hands?
I'm the big boy.
Who's a big boy?
I'm a big boy.
Who's a big boy?
I'm a big boy.
Okay, so a while back, there was this TikTok thing where people were eating with tiny hands or doing things with tiny hands.
Right.
Jennifer bought these tiny hands and said, AJ will be perfect with these.
Apparently they're made for tiny fingers.
So I brought them in. They're sitting in our desk.
Right.
And totally forgot about them. And then yesterday was a KFC commercial.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where they basically said they made these sporks or whatever
yeah.
with tiny hands. They're basically these tiny hands.
Right, exactly.
But made red.
Right.
To eat your mashed potatoes.
To eat right. your mashed potatoes. To eat your sides.
These are not made for thumbs, apparently.
Now, AJ's putting the tiny hands on.
This part hurts.
Does he have enough cameras on him there?
I should probably have, more thumbs, but here you go.
More right. thumbs?
Why wouldn't you have?
I mean, my thumbs, I can't use my thumbs because like they don't fit in there. Okay, so I'm going to be thumbless. So
I think you should lower your camera just a little bit so we can see what you're eating.
Okay.
Awesome.
There you go. All right.
It won't fit on your thumb?
No, it won't fit my thumb. They must have like tiny thumbs. Because I barely fits my fingers, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Yep. So, all right. So I feel like I feel like a chicken actually.
look
at me. Okay. What do you want first? I got Oreos. I got a banana.
Your hands.
I should open it.
So
how
happy.
Open yogurt? This is so stupid. How would you open yogurt? Okay. All right.
You were very confident yesterday.
I was. Yes, I was. Yeah. Yep. All right. So. What should I try first?
I'll try.
You want me to unscrew an Oreo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't even get it out of the package.
This is not easy at all.
Look at his little hands.
Okay. How do you unscrew an Oreo?
You ever see one of those shows where there's a bunch of white hands just in the darkness
yep.
doing things? That's
yep.
Yeah, like a choreography.
Yep.
Yes.
This is not easy at all.
Wow.
Wow.
You're not even... Why don't we do this?
What?
Just... Start easy and try to get that in your mouth.
Okay.
All right. Okay, very good. Good. Check.
Oh.
How is it?
Yummy.
Nummy.
It's my favorite cookie.
Nummy.
I love Oreos.
Is it your favorite cookie?
Yes, it is. Yep.
All right, AJ
no
has a
milk
bunch of...
like a savage.
I know.
No.
AJ has a bunch of tiny hands on his fingers.
Yep.
And he's trying to do... Different things. All right, now try to separate your Oreo.
Separate them. Okay. Yeah, twist out. Yeah. Okay. Oreo. Okay. Wow. I could probably jam it.
Is it on the camera?
Yes, it's perfect view of his hands on the camera.
Great.
Right. Little. Something's more stable.
It's like, how many hands does it take to open an Oreo cookie?
How many hands? Look!
Oh, my God, you did it!
Hey, what's an Oreo? I pried that sucker open. And now I shall eat the Oreo.
Hysterical.
Oh, you're eating the other part.
Oh, yeah.
Both halves.
Got the cream part on.
That's the creamy side there.
Look out.
Right. You ever see when a dog gets a treat, does like a little wiggle? That's AJ when he gets to eat the Oreo.
When he's happy, his tail wags.
Yeah.
He has an invisible tail.
I've been accused that many times.
Okay. What's next?
All right. See the Oreos? Okay. Keep the freshness. Do you want to try the plum? Okay.
All right.
This is not easy at all.
How many hands
are
you using?
Four.
get it.
You got a good bite out of that.
I did. You know, I realized I forgot to wash the plum.
Ah, that's all right.
Yeah, but then like pesticides and stuff.
He's freaking out.
We're all gonna die.
Okay, cool.
You weren't worried about the hands.
I don't want. Really?
That's true. They're probably from China.
Thank you.
All right.
You're pretty skilled.
Seems easy.
Two successful bites. Boom.
Okay. From a plum. Okay. You're basically just grabbing it and pulling it through your mouth.
Right.
Can you peel a banana?
That part's going to be this is going to be tough. All right. I need all my hands through this one.
It looks like there's a team of small people.
Carry the banana. Carry the banana. Right. This is going to be... All right. I got an idea. Right. Hang on. Put my fingers down a little further. Okay.
It's like a tiny colony of ant people.
Right. Ant people.
Picking up a banana.
This is not easy at all.
It's like if Munchkinland put Dorothy up and they carried her.
Right.
That's what it looked like, you holding a banana.
It's like watching a giant banana crowd surf at a concert.
This is a really ripe, unripe banana, so it's like the easier. Okay.
I don't know what you're saying. You want to try that again?
No. I can't get the top part.
Don't use your thumb if it doesn't have a little hand on it.
No, the thought. You can't get the top part what?
Because it's like really, really, like when they're older, they'll snap back. It's really like rubbery, pliable.
Hard.
That works. Yeah.
Don't help him.
Right. Sorry. Right.
When he's on the ropes with a thought, let it go. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can do that. He's trying to grab it with his teeth and open it.
Okay.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.